testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 21, King James Bible. Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, titled, The Prince That Shall Come. This is part 2 of 2.
And it was Gabriel who's talking now, who said, Messiah shall be cut off. And then he shows up to Mary and says, His name shall be called Jesus. Amen. And by the way, Jesus. You're English. It's Jesus. You have these people who want to sound spiritual and they run around talking about Yahushua and Yahshua and you know this. That's Hebrew. And they'll say, well, I believe in calling him what his name really was. Well, wait a minute. The New Testament authors called him Yesu. So are you saying the apostles are stupid? The apostles didn't call him Yeshua. They might have, when they were speaking Hebrew to him, but in their writings, they call him Yesu. Why? Because it was Greek. You're not Hebrew. Newsflash. You're not Greek. You're English. So call him Jesus and stop trying to sound smart. Everybody, that's what it's all about. It's pride. Everybody wants to be, I'm more spiritual than you. Yeshua. And then somebody says, Gesundheit. Because that's the difference between being spiritual and being a smart aleck. Right there. Now we showed you this chart, and it's available for download on the website. And you see there, we give this little tiny box for the age that we're in now, the church. And up above it, you look real close, you'll see the word parenthesis. Because all we're told in Daniel is, this is how 69th is going to end. This is how the 70th is going to begin. And then there's this space that we're not told anything about. And see, that's what happened with Bible prophecy. Is that in Bible prophecy, the Old Testament prophets, we like to call it the mountaintops of prophecy. They didn't see what was in all the little valleys. That came with the New Testament. And Jesus, when he was on earth, filled in some of the blanks. The Olivet Discourse is one of the main ones. But Jesus also said, when the counselor comes, he will lead you into all truth. That's the Pauline epistles. And you want to know you're in the last days, you know there's a bunch of kooks out there who are trying to talk people out of believing the Pauline epistles. They're telling everybody Paul was an imposter, but there's another word they use for him. And you know what's stupid about that is the whole reason we're given the book of Acts is to tell us how we got from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to where we are now. And if it wasn't for the book of Acts, we wouldn't know who Paul was. But Luke wrote Luke, and Luke wrote Acts. He was led by the Holy Spirit to give us all that information. So in our next study, we'll see what triggers 70th week, and that's that confirming of the covenant. But a quick reality check I like to throw in here once in a while. Before we look at what the prince will do in the confirming of the covenant, we are given an identifying detail here in verse 26 that I already alluded to. So let's go back and look at it again. Verse 26, and it says, the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. Now, one of the things that's happening in these last days is that Christians are deciding that they're going to identify the Antichrist. And over the years, they've told us it was Henry Kissinger. And, he's an Antichrist, I'll give you that. Ronald Reagan, because his name, Ronald Wilson Reagan, added up to 666. You remember that? Yeah. How many of you old enough to remember that? And Obama. There are still people today who swear that Obama is going to take over the world and be the Antichrist. I just got news for you. Obama is not as smart as everybody made him out to be. He's a puppet. And he's not the Antichrist. He's an Antichrist, but he's not the Antichrist. But we're told something here that helps us not identify the exact person. We're not going to know exactly who the Antichrist is, but we're going to know enough not to be a sucker and buy the books that claim to know. You see my point? If you collect the information given to us in the Scripture, then there's one thing you do know, is that dude doesn't know what he's talking about when he's trying to sell you a book. Amen? And that's one of the great things. The Bible constantly is guarding you. Beware of false prophets, it says. And avoid them, it says in Romans 16, 17. Why? Don't be a sucker. Peter says they'll make merchandise of you. Yeah, that's what it's all about. They just want to use you for your momo. More money, more money, more money. Well, if I can get my clicker to work here. If we identify who the people are that destroyed Jerusalem. Think about this. If we identify who those people are, the people of the prince, then we have an identifying detail about the Antichrist. You follow me? Everybody? You getting this? Who came in 70 AD and destroyed Jerusalem? What? It wasn't the New Yorkers? What? Cincinnati? Yeah. That would be believable, but they don't even have a city on seven hills up there. Cincinnati has actually been called that. And the reason why they're saying that is because there are people who have written books and claimed that it's Mecca, that it's Jerusalem, and all these other things. The people who came and destroyed Jerusalem is the Romans, and I don't understand why people want to avoid the truth. It's so clear there. But I've had people argue or go around and around with me. That's what it says. The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Who did that? The Romans did it. Clarence Larkin, in his commentary, The Book of Daniel, he published in 1929. Think about that. How long ago? That's been almost 100 years. What, 90? And that was before Israel was a nation or anything. And he says, quote, the Roman Empire is to be revived, and a prince, the Antichrist, is to arise in it. So he's agreeing that it's Roman. The people are Roman. And so you see, we fill in the blank here now a little with this chart, and you have more of the blanks being filled in. And I mentioned this before, we're not date setting. We're just giving you the information. Peter says in 2 Peter 3:8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. And Hosea 6:2 says, after 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Now that just happens to completely match what's going on after 2 days. It doesn't mean exactly 2,000 years. 2,000 years would be 2 days, but it says after 2 days. So it can be any number of years after 2,000 years. But at some point after 2,000 years, he's going to raise Israel up, and that means not where they're at now, where the whole world hates them, but he's going to raise them up, meaning that they will live in his sight. That's talking about when God himself is on the earth. When in the millennial kingdom, the 1,000-year kingdom, God manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ, is going to sit on a throne and rule. That's what that's talking about. So we are getting close to a 2,000-year period from the time of his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Getting close. So it's not a date-setting thing. It's getting close thing. It showed me getting close. Amen. And the rapture could happen at any moment. And then there's these little question marks because we don't know how much time after the rapture will take place when the prince that shall come from Rome will then do what we're going to say next week in confirming the covenant. Cliffhanger. One more quote here from J. Vernon McGee. He's a guy on the radio. Some of you know who I'm talking about. He has a commentary series, Through the Bible with J. Vernon McGee, Volume 3, page 589. Quote, the prince is a Roman. This prince right here. The people of, and then you could kind of put in parentheses, the prince that shall come. That prince, he says, is a Roman. He is the little horn of Daniel 7 we studied already. He is the first beast of Revelation 13. How many of you heard that the Pope might be the false prophet and that he comes before the Antichrist like John the Baptist did Jesus and makes straight the paths for the Antichrist just like John the Baptist did Jesus? You heard that? Can't be true. Absolutely can't be true. Revelation 13 says the first beast is the Antichrist. And then after him comes the second beast. So, throw your prophecy books on the shelf and study your Bible. Amen? After the church is removed from the earth, he will make a covenant with Israel. But I, again, want to say we should be very specific that he shall confirm the covenant. And we'll get into that next time. And that is, again, why we say the prince that shall come, we dress him up and we show him looking like the Pope. Rome ruled the first time Jesus came to earth. How many of you knew that? You knew Pontius Pilate was a Roman? Romans nailed Jesus to the cross. You hear all these people say, that Jews killed Jesus. Well, yeah, they did. So did the Romans. So did you. So did me. So did I. And Rome will rule the second time Jesus comes to the earth. Now, Rome isn't ruling right now. But let me tell you something. We've said it before, say it again. America's days are numbered. And if it wasn't for America, Canada and Mexico's economies would collapse. And America has, how many babies have been killed now? Abortion? Yeah, I don't know what the number is. I should know. I don't think it's quite that many, but let me put it this way. If it's, isn't it like 1.5 million a year? And then it's been how many years? Somebody look that up. Y'all got smartphones. Yeah, since 73. Legally since 73. And the Bible says over and over throughout Scripture that the blood of those who are murdered cries out. You can see that with Cain and Abel. You can see that. That's why I believe the flood happened. Everybody talking about how bad the Old Testament God is. I got news for you. The Old Testament God is Jesus. And the reason why he killed everybody is because he's killing all their babies. And then even after that, throwing them on the arms of Moloch and all that sort of thing. 60 million. So you take the 60 million number right now. If let's say 20 million are raptured out, and then 60 million would be a fifth of the population. That would destroy the economy here in America. And it would devastate our country's ability to fight. And then you got all the Jews who are going to leave after the rapture. They're going to go over to Israel and take all their money with them. And so right there, America has just become a second or third rate country overnight. And who's that leave? Well, it's not going to be South America or Africa. And it's not going to be Russia. Russia is going to be wiped out in the Gog-Magog War. And do you know, their economy right now is the size of Italy's. I mean, Russia couldn't do anything. That's why Putin talks a lot. And people talk about Trump and the Russians. Like it's the only thing the Russians can do is have all the little guys living in their mama's basements hacking. I mean, that's about all they got. And they can wreak havoc in our economic system, and they can do some things like that if they really wanted to. So we've got to ramp up our defenses when it comes to the digital world. But what I'm getting at is, if you just take a look at it, you can see right now that after the rapture, and all the Jews going back to Israel, Europe's it. Revived Rome. And if you want to see who's the world going to galvanize behind, you think it's going to be Angela Merkel? Theresa May, who they're leaving the EU, they, at least they voted to. We'll see if that actually happens. It's not going to be Macron. It's not going to be any of these leaders in Europe, none of them. There's one European leader who everywhere he goes is worshipped. It's the Pope. And what they want is a figurehead, but they'll get more than that. Because see, he'll walk in peace. What does a Pope preach everywhere he goes? Peace, peace. And folks, read the history of the popes. There's a spirit behind that thing. It's Antichrist. And they have been responsible for the murder of hundreds of millions of people, directly and indirectly, if you count directly and indirectly. Meaning places where they have instigated wars through the Jesuits and all that sort of thing. So, the beast rules from Rome, according to Daniel 9:26, and it's called the City on Seven Hills. Look over in Revelation 17 real quick. So, Scripture with Scripture, how it all fits together, real nice. Revelation 17, 7 through 9. We have 20 hours of study on Revelation 17, 18 to prove that Rome is Mystery Babylon. It's not America or Mecca or any of these other claims. We're going to just look at verses 7 and 7 through 9. And while you're turning there, I'll read. And the angel said unto me, verse 7, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. See that? Seven heads and 10 horns. Verse 8, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. We don't have time to get into what all that means, but continue. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And I just believe that's a direct reference to the fact he's going to receive a deadly wound and be raised. Verse 9, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are what? Seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. That's Rome. The seven heads are seven mountains. The city on seven hills, according to the Roman Catholic Encyclopedia, it's on my shelf at home, page 589, quote, it is within the city of Rome, called the city of what? That the entire area of Vatican State proper is now confined. You just can't get any more direct and clear than that. We could go on and on proving the point, but Daniel 9:26 settles the matter. The people were from Rome. The people of the prince that shall come, the prince will be Roman. So you can read it and think like this. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the people, Romans, of the prince, Roman, that shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That's how it reads. The prince that shall come arises from out of where? That's it. You just learned something that better than 90% of professing Christians alive today don't get. Almost all the seminaries, they try to teach that all this happened in the past. They try to claim that what we're doing here is just crazy. Blind leaders of the blind, and they'll both fall in the ditch. Amen. Q&A. Anyone have a question? Oh, by the way, Jenny, can you grab the microphone? I'll get it. We're going to have a question. Go ahead and get it. And the reason why we're using the microphone is, I'm just going to tell you right out front, it's because it's too much work trying to decipher what everyone's saying. We need to hear it. So if you talk into the microphone, ask a question, it makes it easier for those listening online and listening on the videos. We won't put the camera in your face, but we do want the microphone in your face. You have a question from online? Oh, well, I think she's talking about Israel. If so, that's true. They're going into the wilderness, the book of Psalms tells us, and Revelation 12 tells us, in the cleft of the rock. And that is why we believe it is going to be in the land of Edom. And so that narrows it down to Petra. How many of you know what Petra is? You've seen Petra? Go online, put in Petra. And look, it's called the Rock City. It is amazing. You can actually get on a plane if you can afford it and go over and visit. Noah Hutchings from Southwest Radio Church used to go over there a couple times a year and take people. It is a city carved out of rock. And it looks like it was the city of giants originally. But later the Edomites beat the giants and took the city. And then they expanded it and did other things. And it is called a rock city because it's all just a big carved out of a big area of rock. It's beautiful and amazing. And by the way, Southwest Radio Church, I recommend their video with Noah Hutchings on it called about Petra. And he talks about how many people it would hold. Well, if you do the math, the Bible says 1/3 of Israel will survive. And if you do the math, that's how much this city, and it's Jews in Israel. And that includes the New York Jews that are going to go over there. And that's how many people Petra will hold, and they'll be able to survive there for 3.5 years. And 1,260 days is the other reference to it. Great study, great question, and it's a great study. I encourage you to go. If you get into our Revelation studies, pointing at the microphone instead of the camera, Revelation 12. Go to our Revelation studies and watch our studies on Revelation 12. Okay, Charlie, you got a question?
I need a little clarification on these.
Yes, Revelation 13, if you want clarification. Revelation 13, verse 1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. That's talking about the Antichrist. And then it says that, by the way, the verse 3 talks about the wound. Verse 4 about how they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. So it's a satanic worship system during that time. Yes, that old serpent, the devil. And he speaks many blasphemies, verse 5. Opens his mouth to blaspheme against God, verse 6. He makes war with the saints, verse 7. And all of them that dwell upon the earth shall worship in verse 8. And then it says in verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, meaning he's a lamb represents like a spiritual or religious leader. And it says he spake as a dragon. He exerciseth all the power of the first beast. See, there's two beasts. But that first beast is before him. The Antichrist comes first, then this one is the false prophet, who then it talks about how, verse 13, he doth great wonders. But his purpose is, verse 14, he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. And it says that they would, then in verse 15, he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. And that as many, verse 15 ends, as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he's the one who kind of drives this mark of the beast verse 16, 17, 18. But he's the second beast. He's the false prophet. So it's kind of like Satan always counterfeits. You remember Moses had who? Aaron. You see? And of course, Jesus had John the Baptist. And so Satan's going to have his own little Messiah and prophet figures, just like God has had through the years. He's called the false prophet. The first beast is the Antichrist. Yeah. The second beast is the false prophet. Everybody worship the first beast. Yeah. Great questions. Revelation 13, study it close. You'll get more out of that. All right. Anybody else? Any more online? All right.
What's going to happen to Islam? Will they have a role in the end times?
Islam is not one big happy family the way everybody always talks about it. Islam mainly is broken up between the Shia and the Sunni, and Shia and Sunni will not come together for the Gog-Magog war. And you're going to have basically Iran, who's called Persia, and some of the other Islamic countries like Pakistan, Afghanistan, I believe will be part of that too, joining with Russia. And then the Bible says 5 out of 6 of that entire army is wiped out. So what's left of Islam will be the more peaceful, not that they're not, like Saudi Arabia has done plenty of killing and everything, but they're not really a danger. And they really, if it wasn't for the United States of America, they'd be nothing. So in the Gog-Magog War, they're called Sheba and Dedan, and they protest Russia coming down into Israel. And they say, what are you coming down here for, a spoil? Well, that matches what we're seeing. Russia's economy is just this close from destruction. And so something, he says, I'll put a hook in their jaw and bring them down into Israel. And so... that's going to be the large part of Islam will be decimated, and the other part will remain, but they won't be hostile. The timing of the war, we're not 100% sure of, except this. I believe it's before the confirming of the covenant in Daniel 9:27, because in the description of that war, and it's in Ezekiel 38 and 39, it describes the fact that Israel will burn the weapons that they will cause to fall out of the sky for 7 years. Kind of quinky-dinky there, huh? You know, for 7 years they're going to use those weapons for energy and burn it somehow for energy. I don't know all the science behind that, but the Bible says God will knock them down, and other people like, what's that? What, dome? They call it Iron Dome? Yeah. I always think of Mel Gibson and Mad Max, when they they're going to knock these weapons down, collect them. What's really wild too is all the dead bodies from Gog Magog. It describes it. Bible's an amazing book. Ezekiel 38 and 39. Go back and read it. And they'll go put flags by the dead people. They won't actually pick them up. Something's going to make them so like toxic that they'll just flag them and leave them lay there for a while. Yeah, it does. A little bit. Yeah, or it could be chemical, or, you know, just don't know. Some book, amen.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station, available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.